The sefer we're going to learn is the Orchos Tzadikim. The Orchos Tzadikim is a sefer written by one of the Rishonim. The issue is we don't know who wrote it. It's not so important who wrote it right now, and that's a discussion for another time. But, you know, it's a classic. And I think that everyone here is mature enough and old enough to be exposed to some of the classics in our history and to give you a little bit of a taste. If you have an Orchos Tzadikim in your house, then great. If you want to go buy one and learn on your own afterwards, then that's wonderful as well. You know, there are people who mistakenly think that, you know, old ideas or old books or old sfarim or old rabbis, you know, are not relevant anymore. And I think that's a terrible mistake. I think that the Torah of our Masorah and our, you know, great chacham of the past, of the last, you know, 1,000 years, is as relevant today in 2020 as it was in the 1400s. It just needs to be, you know, packaged and delivered in a way that we can relate to it in the correct way. You know, the Orchos Tzadikim is a very beloved sefer. The Stipler Gaon, you know, the father of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, felt that even children as young as 9 years old could learn the sefer, and he would actually learn it with his grandchildren, according to one of the Sfarim. So what we're going to do is as follows: there are 29 chapters in this book. I don't know if we're going to meet 29 times over the course of the rest of the year. But I'm going to do, when we get together for the half hour we meet, I'm going to summarize. And we're going to discuss and talk about one chapter at a time. I'm not going to read it and translate it because I don't think anyone's interested in me sitting here and reading and translating a book. But I'm going to summarize and try to give an overall picture of what the message of that chapter is. I would recommend that on your own afterwards, you can go and read it in English on your own. This is the classic translation of the Orchos Tzadikim. You may have it in your house. There is a copy in the SK library, but I took it, so it's not there. Or you can go get it from the store and kind of review on your own during the week, you know, what we've said here and put it together. Or, if you're really creative, maybe you even have this book in your house. Anybody have this book in their house? Anybody seen this before? No? So this is The Incredible Voyage to Good Midos by Baruch Sheh. He's the same author of the 39 Malachos cartoon book that you may have in your house. He has a series of books. It's a book of cartoons, all based on the Orchos Tzadikim, all based on the lessons about good midos and how to develop good midos. So whatever your cup of tea is, either the Hebrew, the English, the comic book, there's a way to connect to it at the end of the day for everybody listening. So we're going to begin with the Hakdama, the introduction to the Orchos Tzadikim. And we're going to learn tonight why learning about midos is important and how we can get better at improving our midos and becoming better human beings. He begins by making two seemingly unrelated statements that we're going to connect to at the end of our talk. He says, he talks about Yirah Shamayim, having a fear of heaven. And he says that Yirah Shamayim, having an awe, a respect of Hashem, is certainly very important. You know, Shlomo HaMelech writes in Koheles that the whole purpose of being is to have Yirah Shamayim. Sof Tavar HaKol Nishma Es Elokim Yirah. You should fear Hashem. And he says in Mishlei that Yiras Hashem is the beginning of everything. Or you all know from Eish Yischiel about a woman is Yiras Hashem, he Sisalal. A praiseworthy is a woman who has Yiras Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Torah that Hashem asks of the Jewish people to have Yirah Shamayim. And David HaMelech says that Reish Yischachma Yiras Hashem. So we're told again and again and again that Yiras Shemayim is really important. So let's put that on the sign. We know we have to have Yiras Shemayim. Okay. Then he makes another point. He says that man, human beings, man and woman, is the pinnacle of creation. We are the most important part of the entire world. And his proof is that we find malachim, angels, serving men. We don't serve angels. The angels serve us. They're there to do our bidding, to do what we need in this world. And he says that human beings can reach levels, ma'alos elyonos, levels even higher than malachim, higher than the holiest beings in the world. We can become greater than them, but only if we do certain things. And he talks about how we have five senses that enhance and amplify our emotions and our midos. If a person is missing, Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, one of their senses, then your heart is not going to experience the whole world. If a person is blind, and unable to talk, unable to hear, then they're missing out on the full experience of this world. And therefore, a person should use all five of their senses, along with their mind and their midos, in the pursuit of the ultimate good. And what's that ultimate good? We're going to talk about it a few times, is to become greater than malachim. The ultimate good, the best thing you can do in this world, is to raise yourself to become holier and holier and holier, and even more spiritual in this world. A person should want to grow and achieve even greater heights. You know, we should always have she'ifos. What's a she'ifa? She'ifa means a longing for something, a desire for a spiritual thing. You know, we live in a world, certainly in our community, where people want a bigger house, and the people want to have a nicer kitchen, and they want to have a lease on a new lease on a car. We want nicer things, but we don't find people too often who want to have growth or achievement in ruchnius. I want to have more spirituality. I want to have more Torah. I want to be a better davener. I want to do more chesed. Often we're driven by the nicer physical things. But what about having nicer spiritual things? So, you know, Rav Kook has a commentary on the Siddur. And Rav Kook says, and this is based on a Rashi, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, listen to this Pasuk. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hama'alcha Meres Mitzrayim. I'm Hashem, your God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Harchav Pichav Amaleu. Open your mouth up and I'll fill it. It's a very odd Pasuk. Let me say that Pasuk again to make sure you understand how odd it is. I'm Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Open your mouth up and I'll fill it. What's going on over there? So Rashi and Rav Kook elaborates on this and says that Mitzrayim comes to the language of Mitzarim, to be constrained, to be tied up. Says Hashem, I can remove all the constraints, all the things that are keeping you from being the person that you really want to be. I can take care of all of that, says Hashem. But do you know what you got to do? Anybody know what you have to do? What do you have to do, says Hashem? No guesses? What? You have to want it. Harchav picha, says Hashem. Open your mouth. Ask for it. Say something. Tell Hashem that I want to be better. I want to be more spiritual, a better davener, better at chesed, no more. I want to be better. And if you ask for it, says Hashem, v'amaleu. I'll fill you up. I'll take care of it. But you got to want it. You have to have a shifa, desire. And that's what the Orach HaTzaddikim is saying. Desire, want to be better. And if you don't want to be better, then at least want to be better. We should have these goals of how we want to be even greater people. Don't wait for the year in Eretz Yisrael. Why start now? Why do you have to, I'll get to Eretz Yisrael and then, you know, then I'm going to, you know, take off and everything's going to be great. Why not in 12th grade? Why not in 11th grade? Why not in 10th grade? What are we waiting for? So the Orach HaTzaddikim then says that because humans are so capable of greatness, it's important to explain how far we can reach in accomplishments and how low we can fall. We need to know what are our parameters. And we can understand how great we can be and how low we can fall. It'll help us go in the proper path and get to that ultimate good of becoming these higher and higher beings. But how do we get there? So the goal of the Sefer, which we're going to discuss now, and really what we're going to hopefully discuss each week, is to understand midos, to know about our midos. A person needs to understand that midos are either natural or acquired. Either you're born with it, a person is just born with a natural ability to not get angry, or a person is born with a certain sense of entitlement and haughtiness. When they have such a self-understanding, when you understand your midos and you know about your personal makeup, everybody here on these screens have different makeup of their midos, a different balance, a different chemical makeup of what makes us tick. You'll be able to balance them and use midos to your ability, be able to function and use them to become better. He said, gives a famous example of a chef making a dish. Everybody here cook in some form? Fancy dinners, eggs, something in between, right? Everybody here does some sort of cooking in some sort of form in the kitchen. Toast, a bowl of cereal, whatever it is, right? So when the proportions of the ingredients are off, then the food's going to be bad, right? Too much salt, not enough milk, whatever it is, the food's going to be bad. But when the ingredients are in balance and everything is just right, then those cookies come out incredible. When there's too much of something or too little, then the cookies taste terrible. So the same thing with us. when we know the ingredients inside of us, we know what our makeup is, and we understand, oh, you know, like, I do get a little bit full of myself sometimes when it comes to school, and I like to talk about how great I am. And, you know, maybe I do get a little upset over silly things. And maybe, you know, I'm not so generous when people ask for help, and I always have an excuse. And when we learn what's inside, what are the ingredients inside of us, we'll know how and when to display and withhold certain mitos so we can reach this balance that will lead us to becoming these holy, godly beings we want to know. So we got to learn about our mitos. We got to learn about what's ticking inside of us to get us closer to Hashem. If a person doesn't work on bad mitos, it's not going to go away. There is no such thing as bad mitos just disappearing or you growing out of it. If you have bad mitos, it's not going to go away. Like when I teach chasanim for their wedding, I tell them, you know, marriage is not going to fix your bad mitos. It only amplifies it. It makes it worse. If you don't work on mitos now, when you are single and you have the time and you have the opportunity, so then it's going to get worse if you don't work on it now. And when a person has mitos that are bad, it's a symptom that there's something wrong in your neshama. So we have to be so careful to our mitos and how we act. And the way we heal our neshama is by working on our mitos. And when you're sick, who do you go to? Hello? Who do you go to when you're sick?
Doctor.
You go to the doctor. So when there's something wrong with our midos, when our neshama is hurting, because our midos, bad midos are the symptom of something wrong in the neshama. When there's something wrong with the symptoms, you need to go to our doctors. Who are our doctors? Chazal, our Torah leaders, the people who guide us. We need to go and learn what the Torah says about fixing our midos. And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to go to our doctors to make us better. Okay, so what prevents us from improving our mitos? What's stopping us? So he gives two ideas. He says the first is not knowing what good mitos and bad mitos are. Person doesn't know, right? He says it's like being sent to find someone but not knowing what they look like, right? It's like being an Uber driver, right? Or you're waiting for your Uber, right? And you know some guy is coming to pick you up, but you don't know what the car looks like, and you don't have the license plate. So how are you going to find the person if I don't know what I'm looking for? So you got to know what good mitos and bad mitos are supposed to be. And the second thing is not knowing how to fix them. Meaning, I know I'm supposed to go find this person, but I don't know how to find them. I don't know the road to get there. I don't know the tools to find them. So we need to figure that out. You know, the Chovos HaTalmidim, the Pious Etzner Rebbe, the great tzaddik, who was killed al Kiddush Hashem after the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto. So he writes that there are people, young and old, who never feel that there's something they can work on. You may know people like this. They feel that everything is good. I'm fine. I have nothing to work on. I'm spiritually great. I do a great job. You know, I daven this long. I do this much chesed. I'm this nice. I have nothing to work on. I'm good the way I am. And he says, even if those people read a sefer about Musar, or if they come to a class on Wednesday nights to hear about Midos, they're not going to think there's anything wrong with them. They're going to think, well, that's not talking about me. That's, oh, you should talk to my friend. My friend needs to hear that talk. But me? I'm perfect. I don't need to hear that conversation. So he writes something that's very, very frightening. He says, what is the most dangerous type of illness? He says the most dangerous type of sickness is when you don't know that you're sick. Rachman al-Hassan, a person has cancer, stage 2, 3, 4, and they don't find out until it's metastasized throughout their body. And now the treatments are so severe and it's too late. They were sick the whole time, but they didn't know it. And we also need to make sure that we are not sick the whole time and not knowing it. We need to know what our midos are, how to fix them, and how to have shifas, how to have desires to grow. My assumption is, if you're here tonight, on a Wednesday night, when you could be doing other things, we have a little bit of a taste that we want to do something more. and Yasher Kosh, everybody here, that we want a little bit more, something a little bit different. So now let's go back to talk about Yiras Shamayim and Midos, like we said at the beginning. You know, I think you're... Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Of course. Excellent.
When you're going to be able to appreciate, like, who you are.
Excellent. So that really comes from a good sense of self-esteem. You know, they say there's a famous line there of Simcha Bunim of Peshishcha that a person has to have two pieces of paper, one in each pocket. One that says Bishvili Nivra Olam, that the world was made for me, and the other is Anochi Afar Ve'efer, that I am nothing more than ashes and dust. And we need to balance that, a sense of humility, which we're going to learn about. The first two chapters in the Orcha Sadikim are about Gaiva and Anava, how to be humble and how to, you know, not have too much of a sense of yourself. So we're going to get into that at the same time. But for now, a person needs to be able to say, I've grown. Look what I've accomplished, but I know I can do more. In a healthy, happy way. And that's good. That's okay. If a person always says, I'm good, and there's nothing else to work on, then that's not healthy. But if a person says, I've done nothing, and I'm a zero, and I can't accomplish anything, and I'm never going to be good, that's also not healthy either. So we need to walk this tightrope between wanting to grow and wanting to do more, and knowing that the possibilities are endless. No, the Medrash says that it says that Adam is the same letters as Ma'od. Adam is the same letters as Ma'od. Very. A lot. What's the point there? The point is that a human being can always be ma'od. There's more. There's more to do. There's more to you. You're deeper and more profound and have such ability beyond even what you know. Every single person here has such powerful potential to accomplish things that you don't even know that you have inside of you. You're ma'od. You're adam. You're ma'od. There's something more to you. And it's this balance that Tamar is referring to. Now, I think sometimes Yiras Shamayim freaks people out because they think they have to walk around shaking and scared all the time and, you know, be bitter and sad and scared that Hashem is going to send a lightning bolt down and finish you off right now. That's not what Yiras Shamayim means. There's two levels to Yiras Shamayim. One is the lower level, which is, you know, I want to do the right thing because I know that Hashem controls the world and I don't want Hashem to give me a patch. That's one level. And it's not a bad level. It's good to have something to start with. A person says, you know, I know I really want to eat that thing that's not kosher, but I know that it's bad and there's going to be a punishment if I eat that thing that's not kosher. Okay, it's not the highest level, but it's still a good level to start with. The next higher level of Yiras Shamayim is fear out of awe of Hashem, because I'm so overcome with the respect of Hashem that I would never want to hurt our relationship. I would never want to do that. You know, we've given the example before in class of a person who says, you know, I don't want to upset my relationship with my spouse because they're going to be angry at me. Or a person who says, I don't want to upset my relationship with my spouse because I don't want to damage that relationship because they mean so much to me. And that's what Yiras Shamayim really means, that I'm in so awe and so inspired by Hashem that I want to do the best that I can at the end of the day. You know, this idea of spiritual perfection, you know, with good midos, it needs something to hold it together, and that's Yiras Shamayim. And he gives the example of a string that holds pearls together. The beautiful pearls are your good midos, but what's going to hold them together? What's going to keep us in line and focus on the right thing? And that is having Yiras Shamayim, thinking about Hashem, focusing on Hashem. And he writes a very famous line. He says, "Ukashein biyadcha midos tovos." If you don't have good midos, Ein biyadcha Torah mitzos. You don't have Torah and mitzos. Ki kol haTorah teluya b'tikun amidos. Because the whole Torah depends on fixing your midos. And he says, all the mefarshim understand that this is why midos are not counted in the 613 mitzos, right? Because derech eretz is kadma l'Torah. Having good midos is even before you start learning about the mitzos. That's the prerequisite beforehand. And this is repeated by Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos, the Ramban, and other places as well. There's a beautiful mashal that is brought in the beautiful Sefer Das Torah of Rav Yerucham Levavitz. Rav Yerucham Levavitz was the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, and he heard in the name of the Altar of Kelm, who said, you know, when you go to ask a tailor or a seamstress, can you fix this suit for me? Right? Now, do you tell them? Do you tell them? You know, and when you fix the outfit and you fix this dress to get it ready for my, you know, this wedding, can you make sure you use a needle and you put the thread into the needle and you're very careful that the stitches should be equal and not too big and not too small? You've all, I assume, have had work done on outfits before. Is that how you talk to the tailor or the seamstress? No. What do you tell them? You bring the dress in, what do you say? What do you say? Hello, what do you say? You tell them to do it, right? This is what I want you to do. You don't tell them how to do it. You tell them what you want them to do. So it's the same thing over here. Hashem doesn't need to tell us what's our job in this world. Our job is to be a mamleches kohanim v'gai kadosh, a holy people, and to be an example to the world. That's the job that Hashem gave us. Just like the tailor has the job to fix clothing, our job is to be great people and make a kiddush Hashem. We know how to do that. It's with good midos. Says Hashem in the Torah, I don't have to tell you how to do it, because you know what it means. It means to have good midos. You want to be holy? You want to be an example for the world? You got to have good midos. It is the prerequisite for being an Eved Hashem, is having those good midos. Now, let's make a few comments about midos, and then we'll wrap it up. You know, all midos, good or bad, when they're misused, can destroy everything about a person. If a person has a midah which is damaging and hurtful to other people's, it can ruin all the good qualities that you have, right? I'm sure we've seen this before. Now, you have a person who likes to do chesed, and, you know, they maybe are really pleasant to talk to and a good listener, but they love talking about themselves. And it's so off-putting, and it's so nauseating sometimes, that everything else that's good about them, you can't even see. Because the good midah is drowning out all the other good things they're doing. And it can cause them to lose everything they worked upon. And therefore, that's why even one bad midah can be so devastating. So, a person may say, you can't work on good midos because they're not smart enough. They don't know the right from wrong. Or they don't have the will to act properly. Or there are people who have the will to act properly. Or they are smart enough, but no one told them how to do the right thing. So we need to move past all of that. You're all smart enough. You all want to do the right thing, so we're all here together to work on our midos and to be better. Yiras Shemayim, having this consciousness of Hashem all the time, allows us to be on guard against bad midos and harmful behavior. When we don't think that Hashem is before us at all times, then we're going to be overcome by bad midos. So we're going to be working on midos, but also be conscious of Hashem in everything we do. Now, you'll ask me a question. Rabbi Rice, why do I need a book? Why do we look in Chazal? Why do we look in Gemaras and things like this book to tell me how good midos? Why can I just, you know, look around, look at the world, look what the social norms are, read columns about, you know, manners and good advice and things like that? I have this book over here that somebody gave me once. It's called Etiquette, okay? It's a really thick book. It's by a lady named Peggy Post. It's over 800 pages, all about etiquette and good manners, okay? Now, I don't know why the person thought I needed that book, but the point being that, you know, why not look in there? Why do I have to look in the Torah? I know what good manners are. Look around in the street, how people behave. That's fine. The answer, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, is because human beings, unlike other animals, need to be taught. I'm sure you've all seen sort of like video of like a baby giraffe being born, or like a baby elephant being born. Like 2 minutes later, the animal's up and walking around, taking care of itself. We're not like that. Human beings need to be coached, taught, coddled, being taken care of from a young age. And our heart is like a blank piece of paper. Whoever inspires us, whoever teaches us, is going to leave a mark on your heart. And make sure that as you grow and you develop, that it's the wisdom of Hashem, the wisdom of Chazal, that are guiding your training. And not foolish ideas from things in the street and social media and books about etiquette. We look to midos from the places of holy sources of Chazal in the Torah. If you don't train yourself to learn good midos from Chazal and Tzaddikim, you're going to learn it from other places, and it might not be a good place to learn midos from. Now, this is much easier when we're younger, and that's why it's so crucial that the people here are starting now. Because the older you get without developing proper midos and thoughts and approaches to things, the harder it is to correct that issue later on. For example, the longer you wait to wash your car, the more difficult it is to get that dirt off. But if a person washes the car once a month, so then it'll be easy to clean it and easy to affect any changes there. But if you see a car that's been sitting outside for years and years and years, and the thick layer of dirt is, you know, 2 or 3 inches thick, that's going to be a difficult wash on that car. And therefore, it's easier to do it now when we can work on ourselves and mature and we're still growing and we can still have a good impression on ourselves. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, it's compared to a young tree, a sapling that can be molded or formed to grow in a certain direction. But once the tree is bigger and the trunk is too strong, you can't control the tree anymore. So now, while we're still developing and we're still young, that's the place we work on our midos. So the goal of this book, the Orchos Tzaddikim, the Path of Tzaddikim, which, by the way, the author calls the Sefer HaMidos, but for some reason we don't follow his title. We call it the Orchos Tzaddikim. The goal of this book is to show us the value, the implication, the impact of different types of midos, good and bad. And before we start perfecting our midos, we need to learn what good midos are and what bad midos are. And after we first learn what good midos can do for a person and what bad midos can do to a person, then we'll have the tools to be able to perfect our neshamas and our midos. I once heard from Rav Yitzhak Berkowitz, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Eish HaTorah in Yerushalayim. I know you all know the website, eish.com, and the yeshiva right by the Kotel. So Rav Yitzhak Berkowitz said that when you're starting out, the Orchos Tzaddikim is the best book to learn. Many people want to learn Mesilas Yesharim. It's very exciting to learn Mesilas Yesharim because it's more famous and it's a very popular book. But he said the Mesilas Yesharim is about refining your midos, perfecting them. He says before we start perfecting our midos, we need to learn what good midos look like and what bad midos look like at the end of the day. So this is just the introduction. This is the first chapter, the introduction, the Hakdama, that I kind of summarized for you with a lot of different additions, additions to it as well. So again, the hope being that over, hopefully, you'll get a hold of the Sefer on your own, and you can read in the English. The Hebrew can be a bit difficult, certainly for a beginner, but you can read in the English, and you can review what we said and put pieces together and begin this process together as we're learning during the week. Are there any questions on what we said at all?
Yeah, can I ask you one?
Yeah, please.
Basically, you know, before you were saying that, like, if you have a bad midah, then it, like, it ruins your other midos?